Well, today I want to just take a couple moments just to share an encouragement I felt like the Lord put on my heart as I spent some time in prayer this week and asking, Lord, what do you want me to share after a Romans series? We just finished Romans 16 last week. I just kept feeling God reminding me of how He's with us in every single season. I entitled this message, God with Us. And I know it's been said multiple times here in the church body, in our community, on the news, social media, but what a year this has been. This has been quite the year, a lot of different challenges. If I have to be honest, this has definitely been a very hard year for me. I've actually had some of the most raw and real conversations with God I've ever had in my entire life this year. And looking back, I'm like, wow, that was pretty intense. But I also thought, isn't that a really good thing to have really raw and honest and real conversations with our God? I'm thankful that God does not leave us when things get difficult. God does not leave us when things seem to be dark in our world. And just even, I think it was on December 21st, which is, at least in where we live, the darkest night of the year, the winter solstice, that, yeah, it's been hard. Even when you're getting out of work, potentially, it's already dark. And then you go on your social media and news, and it feels like, man, darkness has penetrated everywhere. Has there been any hope of light? But as we know, with the birth of our Savior Jesus, as we've been celebrating just this past Friday with the Christmas Eve service, that yeah, light is here, that our hope is not based on circumstances, it's not based on a government transition, it's not based on COVID being here or not, or lockdowns or masks. Our hope is based on a person, and His name is Jesus. Now, it's easy to say that, but as we know, it can be sometimes hard to believe that during the week. Just saying, God, how can I see you through what feels like sometimes is a dark cloud? Well, I'm so thankful that God came to be with us. We didn't choose ever to be with God. God decided to make a way. And I wanted to use a little illustration for a moment right over here that I hope we found be helpful. Yeah. So I'm just going to make a little illustration. I'm going to put us over here. I'm going to put God over here. And this past year, it can definitely sometimes feel like this is the closeness we are with God. That, God, we know you're there and you're out there, but boy, things are just really tricky. Things are pretty hard. And I can kind of feel like sometimes maybe there's a separation between the intimacy of God and us. And sometimes we see like there's some kind of break in there. Well, I'm thankful that God, He came in the form of a child to reconnect us. And I want to look at a scripture this morning that points to that. It's in the Christmas story. I know it's a couple days after Christmas, but every day is a good day to celebrate Christmas. And we're intentionally doing that even this Christmas weekend. So I wanted to read a story from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. It talks about God coming to be with us and just the realization, the reality, and impact of what that has for us today. So Matthew 1, 18 to 25 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall give him this name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which it literally translates that for us, which is God with us. "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." And let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much that you love us so much, that you came into history, God, as a baby, as a little child, God, on a rescue mission for us, God. Thank you that you came not to judge us in our sin, but to save us from our sins. And God, as I pray as we look at your word today, that you would just guide and lead me as I'm sharing it, and that, God, that we would receive everything you have for us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God with us. Now, for the Jews, this was a huge, huge point of excitement and of controversy. Because for some, when they saw Jesus grow up, they acknowledged him as the Messiah, and other ones did not. But for those who did, the idea that the Messiah had come, that God with us, that Emmanuel was here, this is what they've been looking forward to the whole time. The prophecies in the Old Testament pointed forward to that Jesus is coming. And we're waiting for this Savior, the Son of God, to come to set us free from our sins. Because as many of us might remember, in the Old Testament, there was a way to be temporarily free from sins, but it was an imperfect practice in the sense of being fully made right before God. That those who had sinned would have to go take sacrifices appropriate for the sin to a priest, and they would have to have sacrifice on behalf of their sins, and then go to the priest and also find a place of limited forgiveness and atonement. But it was a system that always pointed forward to something better. It was like a shadow longing for something that was a full reality. And so when Jesus had come, Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah had come. This would have been a place of great joy for those who could see the Messiah. And for those who did not see Jesus as a Messiah, as we know, there's a great point of controversy, a place of just distrust, and ultimately led the Jews to wanting to crucify the one that actually came to die for their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. As we're in this season, as I mentioned, that can be so challenging and so difficult. For some of us around the holidays, this is super exciting. For others of us, maybe you're thinking about loved ones who are not here for the holidays. Maybe you're thinking of loved ones you can't be with during the holidays because of COVID or other kinds of losses. And it can just feel like, I'm not that excited around the holidays. If anything, I'd be honest, I might feel a little anxious, maybe a little depressed. I'm hoping that's this encouragement of this reality that God is with us. God is with you at this time. This morning I was reading in Psalm 23, and I was just reminded about how the Lord is our shepherd, and that He's with us at all times, even when we're in the deepest, darkest valley. And I would probably say for a lot of us this year, it feels like that deep, dark valley. God says, I'll be there. You don't have to fear. God's going to be with you in that moment, in that place. Oftentimes throughout Scripture, even when Jesus was about to leave the planet, He encouraged His disciples that, hey, I will be with you all the way to the end of the days. I'm not going to leave you in this moment or in this time. For a lot of the earlier believers, they faced lots of difficulties. Persecution, martyrdom, they were thrown out, put in prison. But yet, this promise that God is with us, and when Jesus went back to heaven, He would also send someone even, well, not someone even better, but He would send the Holy Spirit to be with them, the Paraclete, the Comforter, that it's not that Jesus just came to be with us as we celebrate on Christmas, but because He's given us His Holy Spirit, if you know Christ, His Holy Spirit dwells in you. So now you have Christ inside of you, the hope of glory at all times. And we see the early church, they would meet and gather, and they would celebrate that God is with them, even in difficult circumstances. Even in circumstances that are incredibly overwhelming, I'm sure we could call it anxiety, or fear, or worry, or depression, yet they would still follow after God, because they realize that, God, You are greater than anything that I'm facing right now and today. God with us. Emmanuel. So in the Old Testament, if you look at this little drawing again, we saw that people were trying to reach out to God in so many different ways, and oftentimes it was based on what they would do. Maybe they tried to do the right things, right? And maybe they tried to stay away from the wrong things. I'm sure a lot of us can sometimes think, okay, do the right, God told us to do certain things, avoid certain things, okay, got to do that, which is great. I mean, if God's telling you to give instructions, it's great to follow that, but none of that on its own can bring us any closer to God. We can't. Just by feeding the poor, that's a great thing to do. We want to be part of that as a church body. God told us that we should care for widows and orphans and the poor. But just doing that on its own doesn't make us in a relationship with God. No amount of good works will make that. Or maybe we're trying to stay away from certain sins or things that we shouldn't be doing, which is also good, right? But that doesn't make us eternally good by our own works. And all of these things just fall short. We just fall short. So we're like, man, I want to be with God. I want to do these good things, but I can't do it. There's no amount of sacrifice, no amount of hard work, no amount of thought or just good intentions that can get us reconnected with God. And that's why I just love, in this time as we're celebrating Christmas, the realization that we can't work our way into a relationship with God. We can't get into a place of saying, you know, God, I want to be back in a relationship. I want to be in a place of just spending time with You because I'm just going to try to be a better person when it comes to 2021. Right, just in a couple of days. A lot of times, most New Year resolutions are happening. I don't know, with COVID going on, everyone's just taking breaks from resolutions. But usually, it's like, I want to usually be a better person. Maybe it's with health, maybe it's relationships. Hopefully, you want to grow in the Lord as a priority. But none of those on itself is going to get us closer to God unless we realize that we never reached God first, but that God reached us first when he came and he died on the cross. That our best attempts always have fallen short to reach God. You look at the world today, there's all these religions that try to reach out to God. I remember when I was working in a factory, I had a really good friend, he's a Muslim friend, and he's just telling me how he does all these really good works, really good things, help feed the poor, care for people. I'm like, that's awesome, right? In hopes that his God, that he's believing in Allah, would somehow give him a way into paradise. But he lived in constant fear. Because he's like, Jim, if I go home today and I do something wrong and get hit by a bus, he's like, I have no certainty that I'll be with the one that I'm trying to follow after Allah. And I was so excited because I'm like, well, can I tell you about Jesus? It works completely the opposite way. Instead of trying you to impress a higher deity, the higher deity in this case, God, came down as a servant. He died for your sins and for my sins. And that because of what he's done on the cross, I can literally have access to God. It's not based on my works. It's not based on me avoiding things. It's not based on me being a better person in 2021. It's based on his love. It's based on his gift. It's based on grace and mercy. It has everything to do with God and really nothing to do with me. It's actually what we would consider a gift. And I remember talking to my friend and just seeing the exact opposite of what Jesus offers. All other religions try to get access to God by doing something or avoiding something or going to a state of like nirvana or like just like a place like you're just not even in focus or reality. But Jesus has come into our reality. He's died for us in order that we might have life with him, and it's something that we can receive. So regardless of how we're ending 2020, which has been really difficult, I want to encourage you, because God has made a way and access to us, that if we receive that even today on this Sunday, we decide that, you know, God, I just want to start this new year. I want to start it with you first. Jesus kept it real simple. He said, seek first his kingdom of righteousness, essentially God's kingdom of righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. That all those who don't follow God chase after all the time. And we have to be honest, sometimes when our life gets all kind of scrambly, we start chasing after things. But it's not always Jesus, right? Sometimes if you go to the stores, you see that when you lose control, everybody wants to buy all the toilet paper or the paper towels, right? Because you just got to control something. You got to have something that makes it feel like there's some norm or something that you can be part of. But when we realize that, God, you're in control, that the Bible has to do with everything about you being glorified, that God is so big and magnificent that COVID or governments or whatever's going on, that none of that impacts him, that he was Lord before we ever existed, that God doesn't actually need us, which is interesting, because sometimes our prayers can be an effect of like, well, God, you kind of need me, or you're here to serve me, or you're some kind of genie in the sky, right? That's like, you're here to make my life a little emotionally better, or, you know, or morality a little bit better, or financially a little bit better, or my marriage a little bit better. Jesus came that we might have new life, that we would die completely to our life, and that we would have new life in him, and that we would follow after him. So it's not something of like, oh, God just wants to make your life a little bit better. No, he wants to make it completely new. Completely new. And so I'm hoping for us as a church body, as we're wrapping up 2020 and going to 2021, that we can just have real moments just to come before God and just to pause and be real with him. Like I mentioned, some of my most real, authentic prayers, which were messy. I remember once I was just praying a couple weeks ago, I was weeping, I was crying talking to God. It was raw, it was messy, it wasn't formulaic, it wasn't religious at all. It was just me talking. It reminded me, actually, if you read the Psalms of David, his songs and all the Psalms are very raw. And I'm like, wow, we can have that intimate expression and that intimacy and conversation with our God, because our God wants to know us in a real and personal way. So in a moment, we're going to have a time just to pause, just to slow down and invite the Lord to speak with us. That God, sometimes we are scrambling around the planet so quickly that we forget that the greatest gift, especially if you know Jesus, the greatest gift is already inside of you. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit's within us, renewing us, making us more like Jesus, that we can let God work within us and then respond accordingly in a way that would honor him and glorify him. So as we're starting the new year for 2021 as a church, it's a great time to refocus back on, is my priorities Jesus first? Am I seeking his kingdom first? Am I really focused on and embracing that God is with us? Or am I living as if God is not with us? He's not for us. That for some reason, because the life is a little bit crazy, that I'm now living for my kingdom and my purposes and my will. I might have mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago in another message, but some of the fastest growing churches in the world, it's not in the U.S., as maybe you could guess, it's actually some of the most persecuted places on the planet. It's in Iran, Afghanistan, and then in India, is where God's kingdom is blossoming and flourishing in situations that I think all of us could agree on are not ideal, incredibly difficult. You can die for sharing your faith, and yet God's church is just growing rapidly. I think that's a good reminder for us in the U.S. as we face real difficulties to realize that we have brothers and sisters in other countries that are even facing more difficulties, but yet they're even clinging to Jesus closer. In the valley moments, those are the great opportunity to get to know Christ in a very intimate way. I wish we could always just know God in an intimate way on the hilltops, right, where all the blessings flow, but it's when we're in the suffering and the difficulties and the challenges, that's when we relate most closely to the suffering of Jesus, the intimacy of his pain, and realizing that, God, you are working something within me and within us and within this church, changing things, removing things, adding things of him that are actually going to make us more look like Jesus. Even though the process could be hard, and I've got to be honest, I'd like to skip those processes, but we have such a good Father, a Heavenly Father. He wants to see us grow to look more like Jesus than more like ourselves. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to take a moment just to be quiet for about a minute. I know maybe you're in your living room right now, or you're watching the recording, or in the kitchen, or in the car. But wherever you can just pause and just have a time, just say, Lord, I just want to listen to you. God, maybe, honestly, to be real, a minute really isn't long enough. We're just going to do that because it's part of our service. But maybe take the afternoon or an hour, take the journal, however you process with the Lord, and just be like, God, I just want to be with you. I just want to be honest. I want to have some real conversations. Maybe it's been a while since you've listened to God and had a conversation where maybe he was the one directing kind of the topic of choice. So let's take a moment to pray and then we'll have a moment to pause. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, thank you for making a way when there was no other way to you. God, thank you that you promised that you would come to the Israelites. And then, Lord, over 2,000 years ago, you came to this planet. You fulfill every promise, Lord. And God, I pray as we end 2020 and look into 2021, God, that we would have eyes fixed on Jesus, not fixed on our problems, God, not fixed on the darkness, but God, our hope would be fixed on you. And God, I pray that this year as a church body, we would shine even brighter than we ever shined before. That it'd be so clear that Christ is in us and working in us, Lord, that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. So let's just take a moment to be silent before God. And then after this, we'll have some time just to respond in praise and worship.